Today we're going to talk about the business of being a creator, and it looks wildly different than I think what a lot of people know it to be. We're going to dive into a lot of different parts, how operations work, background stuff, all of the things. So buckle up, baby. We're doing this. Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martins. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world.
This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your video's YouTube reach by studying titles, description, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth.
So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this. What's up, ladies? Welcome to the episode of the Women of Video podcast. As always, I'm Desiree, your host with the most, who's trying to help make you all the money, all the things, do all the stuff. This episode, I have been like planning and writing and note-taking in my mind for a long time. And a lot of it started off when I was thinking about like heading into January and all of the YouTubers were quitting. Now, this is not a whole like retrospect on like the YouTubers quitting. There's plenty of other people out there to talk about that you can go see what they were doing. What I took away though from a lot of the things that these guys are talking about was that there was a fundamental issue with their businesses, not their YouTube channels or creativity, but their businesses. And as someone who's been a business owner for 15 years, as someone who has, like, I was a business owner first, creator second, I feel like I can bring, like, a really unique perspective to this. And also, like, I've been able to create a six-figure business by creating content on the internet. So there's just a lot of things for us to, like, really dig into. And I just want to map out my thoughts on this. So that's what we're going to do. First and foremost, I think it's important to note that when you are a creator, that's your job. That's the product. That's the thing everybody wants to be. The kids who are in high school that are like, I want to be a YouTuber when I grow up. People that see all of the things. It's sort of like when we were kids growing up and we would see actors. Like, I want to be an actor when I grow up. Because all we see is like them on the screen and all the fame and the notoriety and the publicity and all the things. That's not what this is. And like, you know that as a creator yourself or someone getting into creating, like there's so much more to being a creative. Like it's the iceberg, like 90% of what you have to do is underneath the water. 90% of what people see people only see a small fraction of like what we are doing when we're creating content, because they just get to enjoy the final version of this. Like they get to enjoy the finished video, the title and the thumbnail. Like that's all they have to do. But there's so much work that goes into making that video work. The shots, the edits, the making sure it lines up the way that it's supposed to and that the angles are good and always trying to be better than last. There's a thumbnail creation. Like what thumbnail is going to good? What's going to make them click? Because they only have 1.5 seconds to get their attention, you know, and then it has to support the really killer title. And it can't be too keyword heavy. It has to be impactful. There's all of that flow that we do to make our videos work really well. We also have like the descriptions. There's also all of the sponsorships. There's also the coming up with the ideas, building the audiences, promotion. There's a lot that goes into creating content. But when you are the creator on the channel, when you are the creative, you're the person that starts all this, that's the product. That's what you are. You are a product. And you have to keep making your product as good as possible because that's what everyone is going to buy. And it doesn't matter all the other parts that go into it. The product is what matters the most. The final thing, it has to have the right solutions that it solves. It has to look the right way. It has to be the right way. It has to do the right thing. So when you're so focused on being the creative and doing the creative work, the thing that you're selling, there are all of these things that have to support it in order for it to work well. I want to give this a regular old life example. Let's take in, for example, your local HVAC guy. So like heating, cooling, sometimes electrical. They are in every house, every building, everything, no matter where you live, an apartment, a townhome, a house, you have an HVAC system because you either have heat or air or both. That person that started that company started that business because they are good at fixing heaters and air conditioners. And that's what they probably are trained in. They went to trade school for. They apprenticed under someone to do. So that's what, that's all what they know how to do. When they start a business, in order for them to be successful as a business, they get to work less and less and less on that heating and cooling system to the point where they probably don't anymore if they're doing it well, because they're replacing themselves, they're hiring other people to do it for them, all this kind of stuff. And their job is to be the name, the face, the brand, and maintain the quality and vision of that business. And so they don't get to do the work as much anymore, or at all in some cases. And so when we apply that same like logic and strategy to what happens over with the creators, that's the same thing that can happen to you. And that is what's going to lead to burnout and unsuccessful channels. So what can you do to not allow for that to happen? So this is where having the right structure in place for your business is really important. Now, every business, in my opinion, needs four parts. Every creator business needs it, is four parts. One, the creative. This is the person that is the face, is the vision, is the person making all the things look, sound, and be good. That's the thing that everyone is selling. The second thing that you need is an operations person. Now, the operations person is the one to be the one that makes everything tick and happen behind the scenes. They're the one that's making sure schedules are getting done, that, you know, the editors are doing what they're supposed to do, that the personnel are doing what they're supposed to do, that the videos are being published when they're supposed to, that the sponsors that are part of those things are getting their say and they're done, and contracts, all that kind of stuff. They're the ones that handle the logistics of a business. Sometimes this isn't a person, like their full-time job. Sometimes it's like a VA or an online business manager who helps you with stuff. So for example, in my creator business, I have a VA who turned into my project manager, and she and I work through all of our projects together. Every little detail that has to get done in the creative process, every little piece, we have like a task or a line item for in our project management software, and it's assigned to who does it and when it's all due. And so I know when I have to have my creative done, and she knows once my part is done, when I check my box, she steps in and does all the stuff. So like this podcast, it's just, she edits, she makes sure that it gets edited. She's just doing all the show notes. She's making sure that the thumbnails get uploaded. It goes up to our Spotify account and then gets published to all the places. She emails our guests and lets them know, hey, your episode is live. We'd love if you go check it out, share it, promote it, all of this stuff. All right. And then we have like, that's operational. Like she's making sure the logistics of the creative work, right? So if that is a bottleneck for you, if that's something you don't enjoy, something that stops you from doing things, an operations, a project manager can put that in place and it will help you with that. So that's your second person. You have creative operations.
Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that's going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back.
Third person you need in your corner is money. Okay, is a money manager. Now, I would argue you probably need a money manager before you hire an operations person. And I would argue the first thing you should do when you decide to become a business, which is what you are going to become as a YouTuber, is you need to set up an LLC so you can start writing all the things off and making all the money separate from things. And it protects you as a person and your family and your assets away from it, right? You want to separate work and family, like church and state. We're separating our work and our family, right? You want a good accountant and or CPA to help you with this. This is going to be a person that's going to be in charge of making sure that your money is doing what it's supposed to do. So for example, I have a CPA. So when I started my business 15 years ago, I had met somebody at a local networking event. I trust him. He was a younger guy. And he kind of coached me through what to do with starting my own business. I had no idea. I was like 24 and clueless. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And so he told me, he says, the moment that he said, first thing you need to do is register your business as an LLC. And the moment you do that, call me. So that's what I did. I went to my local Secretary of State. I had to go to a building at the time. You can do it online most of the time now. And I registered with LLC and I called them. Okay, I got it. And so he helped me set my EIN number and he told me what to do with my money, how to spend it, how to, like, with my cards and the bank, all of the stuff. That person set me up for success foundationally, because then also he told me what to do, what not to do. And then come tax season, I was able to hand him everything that he told me to do and he took care of the money. One of the things that can become very stressful as a business owner is money management. So when you start making more money, there's still taxes you have to pay. No matter what country you live in, there are taxes you have to pay. And as your own boss, as being self-employed, you have to pay that on your own. When you're given a check for $1,000, a percentage of that has to go to the government that you are a part of automatically. You don't get to have say over that. So you can have write-offs and discounts, all this other stuff attached to it that your accountant and CPA can help you with. But that's still part of the process, okay? So by having an accountant and a CPA in place and or CPA, it's going to really help you. Now, I have a CPA and accountant who is in the creator space. She understands our world. She understands what's going on. She's incredibly helpful, and she's been doing my taxes for years. She helps me with all of my stuff. And also by having her, she's able to navigate all of the complicated tax jargon that we as creatives are not equipped to know. Why? Because it's our job to be creative. It's not our job to understand operations or to understand the money. It's just our job to make it and give the operations people something to do, right? So that's how that works. That's our third person. So we have creative, we have operations, and we have a money person, accountant slash CPA. The fourth person that you can add in to your process is going to be a salesperson. Now, a salesperson is going to be someone that represents your brand into the world with the very explicit objective being to get you money, okay? So in the creator space, the most common way that we see this is going to be with like a talent manager. There's all these influencer agencies, all these people that are represented by people in this space, and they like are at a certain level. And you can work with these talent agents or these influencer managers and stuff without any problem. They take a percentage of your sales, but you get opportunities that you might not have had before. And what's kind of cool, if you have the operations person in place, the operations person and the talent manager can work a lot together to make sure all the things are getting done the way they need to be done and relay the tasks and the creative needs to you. And of course, you want to get the final stamp of approval if that's going to work for you. I have had some wonderful friends and guests who've been on my video podcast who have had wonderful relationships with their managers. The one that comes to top of mind is Gabby Suarez. She's a fantastic talent manager his name is James at iSocial. I think it's like iSocial Fans or something like that. I'll put the link in the show notes. But James does like lifestyle and content creation. The reason that she went with him is because he had a daughter who was in this space, a creative space. She had millions of followers. She was creating her beauty line. And so she knew that he took care of her, that she would take care of her as well. And so by finding the right talent manager, you just have to find the right fit. But like, for example, Areli, PLV Music, who's been on our podcast, she just talked to me last night about how she's like, I had this guy and like, it all seemed too good to be true. And I said all this stuff. And she's like, there's just something that says no. I said, then that's the answer. The answer is no. If something doesn't feel right or seem right, if they're not like looking for like good contracts or situations, or they're trying to control the money first, like I'm out. Like, we are not doing those sorts of deals and stuff. You can be your own salesperson. Your operations person can be your salesperson. Like, that can be a thing, but it's still a separate part of your business. In order for you to be a creator successfully, you have to have an income. Again, it's just how that works. Like, there are a percentage of people that do creative this work as like a side hustle or a creative outlet or just something extra for them. But you still have to have like a part of it. You still, most of us creators want to make money and have to have the income goal in place in order for us to sustain doing this. And a salesperson can help you with that. In addition to like finding you sponsorship deals, it's their job to find you other money-making opportunities. So this is going to be things that are like, okay, what are you doing with your Amazons? Who are better affiliates that we can find for you? What are you doing what can we do to get you syndicated? What brand partnerships can we do for you? What, borrowing against your AdSense can we do for you? Where can we put you in other countries to help add that revenue? Do we need to translate your content in a different language? That is what a salesperson should also be doing. It's not just about sponsorship deals. A salesperson's job is to bring in the money in the multiple ways in which that it can happen. So that is how you kind of want to dive into how your salesperson will work. Things were getting really good over in our interview, but I wanted to take a minute to remind you that we now have a new home for the Women in Video community. You can head over to Patreon right now, and we have the link in our show notes that you can go find it there, where we're going to be able to have after show information, we're going to have chats, we're going to have information, and just come together to answer questions and connect and support each other as creators. This whole creator thing can be really confusing and can be really lonely. So let's come together to support each other like the badass women that we are. Head over to patreon.com/womenofvideo to get started now. Now, you might be asking yourself, like, Des, like, I am sitting at, like, a whole, like, 5,000 subscribers or 10,000 subscribers or followers or whatever. Like, this all doesn't make any sense to me. I get it. And I understand it. And, like, this is where you want to get to that point. When I started as a YouTuber, the first thing I had to do is I had to hire an editor because I could not do it. And usually that's the first thing that people hire in the creative space is an editor. And I would argue if an operations person could handle finding you an editor service, or they can maybe help you with editing as well. The creator Ali Abdaal has a COO for his business, a chief operating officer. And he did an interview on the COO podcast that is done with Uscreen. And he was talking about how, like, he's the only person Ali talks to. That guy is in charge of, like, all the team, all the execution things, all the sponsorship deals. Like, everything comes to him, and then he goes and talks to the creative, because it's Ali's job to be creative. It's Ali's job to be a visionary. It's Ali's job to connect the audience and be the thing that all of the employees, all the people underneath him are selling. So you have to kind of position yourself and think of yourself in that way. The ultimate objective is to get you into a place where you can focus solely on the creative and outsource this stuff. It might be taking any income that you get and reinvesting it back into those people or services so that you can then make more money by continuing to create more great content, right? So I think that's important. So, like, I'm going to kind of recap that, like, that foundational piece about it. We're talking about, like, the business being creator. The foundation of that is going to be having the right systems and, I think, people in place to help you with that. So, again, that's having a creative, that's you, the YouTuber, having your operations, having a salesperson, and having a an accountant, a person that manages all of your money or the money that comes in and out so that you can make things happen. These don't have to be full-time employees. These can be contractors. These can be people that are part-time, but they are people that can help support you so that you can do what you do best, which is great content. Now, when we're talking about the business of being a creator, the next part is once we have our people, our operations, our foundations up in place, we have to make sure that we are doing some things to make sure that we have longevity in this space. So I have a couple of tips of things I want you to consider when you're walking through where you are at in your business and what you're doing and how you can have longevity and even an exit strategy. So in business, there is a phrase that you want to plan for the exit. So if I'm going to start a business, I not only need to have like a 1 year, 5 year, 10 year plan, I need to know how I'm going to get out of this because no one wants to do this for forever. Right. And your exit plan could be giving it to your children. Okay. Your exit plan could be selling it. Your exit plan should not be shutting it down. Okay. That should be the last thing that you want to do. Right. Because when you shut down a business, that's a loss for you. You can easily sell it to somebody for something. All right. So don't do that. So how can you plan to leave? So as creator businesses, we have to look like, well, how do people stop being creators? Not a lot of people have done this successfully in our space. A lot of time people just like stop. There's all the quitter people like we had in January. They made a video like, I'm done, I'm walking away. But there's also the just like stop. Like it's like it's just left unresolved, hanging in the wind without us knowing what's going on. And I think the biggest mistake that creators make in business is they create a brand revolving around their name and their likeness. And I know you're like, Des, that's straight up what you are doing. No, it's not. No, it's not, because I'm shifting. Women of Video, I could sell and another woman could step in and do what I'm doing. Women in Video could get sold. So I'd be like, I don't want this anymore. I just want to buy it out because I don't want the competition. You know, there's a lot of things that could happen. And that my ultimate, and I've tried a lot of different things of what I wanted Women in Video to be, and they haven't quite worked. Doesn't mean I'm giving that up. But like the plan ultimately for Women in Video is to sell it in some way, shape, or form to a company that is looking for like a DEI initiative. So with my own personal YouTube channel, that is named after me, and that is super problematic for me because I want to do more with my name. I want to free my name to do stuff, and I wanted to do that before, and I was kind of discouraged from doing it. I took some bad advice. We all do it, and it didn't work out. And so my plan for my YouTube channel is to, one, I'm reactivating it. I'm going back to some old methods, doing some new stuff to re-energize, revitalize it back to where it was. And then I'm going to be putting digital products in place to help it sustain on its own. And my objective is to slowly stop being named Desiree Martinez. My plan is to stay Desiree Martinez Das all on one social media. And then with time, I'll just remove my name. And the objective is going to be to have other contributors come on to it and be like other channels, like other social media platforms that are very like news and resource oriented. Like my favorite one right now is Life Marketing. They have multiple people on their channel. They actually just hired a new guy, which is kind of cool. Just so I've been following what they've been doing. Social Media Examiner does a really great job of this. Think Media does this, where they have multiple faces as the face of what they're doing. I think they have like the three guys that are doing it. So that's how I want that brand to evolve. And my ultimate goal with all my social media is to either hand it to my kids when they get older, if that's what they want to do, because my kids are at this time of this recording, they're 9 and 8. And if they ultimately want to get into marketing, like they have something they can do, it can bring them in out of the wing and teach them and stuff, or to sell it, or let it keep making me money in the meantime, right? So that's the extra strategy I have for that YouTube channel. And I have the other things that are in place to allow for that to happen. People that create under their own name put themselves in a handicap where everything has to start and end with them. But if there's no other way for you to do it, like let's say like you are an individual or you are a brand where like you are the face of it, my advice to you is to start creating things away from your name, but that your name supports. The biggest and best example of this is going to be Mr. Beast with Feastables. Feastables is a name separate from Mr. Beast. You can argue Feast and Beast, and it's his brand. But that is a brand that can exist beyond him. That is a business that he can sell. That is a business he could leave to his children or that he could do more with for the next 50 years because everyone's going to love chocolate, but YouTube might not always exist. So what can you build as a part of your brand or business away from your name? Right, that might be an agency, that might be a separate business, that might be whatever it is, you can do that. My best example for this is going to be, I have a buddy named Roger Wakefield. He's the expert plumber on YouTube. He got very successful 2018, has blown up. He has over 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, and he's like the plumbing expert. And his channel is good because he's got like multiple things that he digs into, not just like how to fix a toilet, but he'll do like TikTok stuff, and he'll do like dirty job stuff, and he'll do like trades work stuff, and it's really great. But because of the success of what he did from his YouTube channel, he was able to sell his plumbing business. So his YouTube channel is named Roger Wakefield, the expert plumber. And then his business was something green, whatever, Texas-like plumbing. And he was able to be so successful from his YouTube channel and that business like flourished, he was able to sell it away from him. And then he's pivoting into these other things that he's doing to help other trades businesses do things. Like that's how you build something away from your name so that you can like have this other way to make revenue in a different way, a different time in the future for yourself. So really dig into like, what can I do to either rebrand myself away from my name, and two, what can I build away from my name, but that my name can support so that that can outlast me in the event that the social things don't go away, the TikToks, Instagrams, the YouTubes, those pieces go away. I feel like that's a really solid way for us to like end our episode today. Like I said, we talked about like foundation stuff, like what you want to have in place to be successful, and some pretty solid things that you want to do to be successful as a business. I'm going to do an episode, I think in a couple of weeks, talking about money. There's a whole new like way I think that we can talk about more ways and more unique things that we can do to make money. I've talked about this a lot last year, and some of those things actually don't work as well as they do now, or there's updates to them or caveats to them and things like that. So look forward to that one in an upcoming episode. And until then, you are possibly amazing. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with hashtag Women of YouTube with your thoughts.